Hey, thanks for tuning into the Harvest Christian Fellowship Amarillo podcast. This week, we're starting our new series called Love and Respect. Pastor Gabe Mowdy talks about how we as men and women can respect each other's differences. For more information, download the Harvest Christian Fellowship app or visit us at harvestchristianfellowship.org. Have a blessed day.
Would you guys pray with me as we jump into this message? God, we thank you. Thank you for calling us into your kingdom. Thank you for calling us to be the children of God. Men and women who are empowered by your Holy Spirit to make a difference in this world. Men and women who are called to be salt and light right here in our community. So God, I pray for this group of people this morning that as they are here as an open testimony saying, we're here to worship you, God, as a fellowship of believers. God, would you plant something into their hearts from your word this morning that would bless them, that would benefit them, that would empower them to go out from this place and make a difference in the community. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm honored to get to introduce a new series this week. We're starting Love and Respect. And I want to make a couple of disclaimers here right at the beginning as we jump in. It is a series on marriage. And I understand that not all of you are married this morning, that there are singles and young people here and folks that are at different stages in your life. And so as we dive into this message, yes, I'm going to be talking directly about the marriage relationship. But don't check out too fast if you're not married, if you're not looking at being married or in that position of life, because there are relationship principles that we're going to cover from God's Word this morning that I believe will empower you, will give you some tools that would help you relate to the people at work and different relationships that you have around the community in better ways. And so with that having been said, we're going to jump right in this morning and look at the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. If you've got your Bibles, turn over there with me this morning. It's also on the screen there where you can read it nice and easy. So God created mankind in his own image, he says. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so our big idea today that we're going to go away from this place with is this. We must honor our differences. Because you see, from the very beginning of time, God created us in his image, but he created different parts, male and female. He created us as different. It's obvious as we look around, you know, we can tell the difference. But we're going to be talking about the differences on the inside of our hearts, so the way, the language that we speak, the way that we communicate with each other. It's different. And God created us that way. You know, the first time I got a lesson in this when I was young, I was probably, I don't know, 10 or something like that. And I went out to the barn with Dad, and we were working around out there. And I saw this really cool-looking contraption hanging on a nail up there on the wall. And it was silver and stainless steel, and it had a big handle on one side, and it had another big crank-looking handle over here. And on the bottom of it, it had this crisscross grid kind of a thing. And I was looking at that and said, Dad, I can't figure out what this thing is. Can you tell me? And he said, well, yeah, I can tell you about that. He said, in fact, this will be a real good life lesson for you to learn right now. And he said, that there is a French fry cutter. And I said, well, why is a French fry cutter hanging in the barn? Didn't that go in the kitchen? And he said, well, here's your life lesson. You see, I saw your mother making French fries for us, and she'd take forever to sit there and cut up those potatoes by hand with a knife, you know, one at a time. And I thought it would be a lot faster and a lot easier on her if I would go buy her this French fry maker. And I found this machine, and I got that for her birthday one year. And I guess you can tell how well that went over with her. It went straight from opening the gift to right out and hanging on a nail in the barn. I don't think it ever got used. He said, yeah, your mom didn't really receive that gift as well as I had intention for it to go across. That's because we're different. Men and women are different. We communicate differently. We hear differently. But in spite of those differences, we are both the perfect representation of the image of God. Matthew 19:4 says this. Jesus takes us back to the scripture and repeats it. He's talking to the disciples about marriage. issues. And he says, haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And it's God's idea. And sometimes we're tempted to think, because of the differences, God, did you mess up? Did you really intend to make it this hard? Did you really intend to make us so different? Why couldn't we just, you know, be alike and get along and understand one another? You know, in our culture, you know, gets that all mixed up these days. But he said, no, I did this for a reason. You know, sometimes Jill will go into the closet and we'll be getting ready for an event, and she'll be looking through there and going through the clothes, and she'll try on something, and I don't know, 5 minutes later I'll come back out and she'll, you know, have something else on, and then 5 minutes later I'll something else on, and she'll come up, I just don't have anything to wear. And I'm like, well, there's a whole closet right there of clothes that you just tried on 3 different outfits, you know? Well, I don't want one of those to work. Now, when I say that I have nothing to wear, it's because I went in the closet and I pulled open the drawer and it was empty. The laundry hadn't been done yet. So how is it that we can say the same thing, I have nothing to wear, and mean 2 totally different things when we say that? Well, it's because God made us different. You see, she speaks with a pink lens, pink words, pink understanding, and I talk in blue language over here. And everything that I see and everything that I do and everything that I understand is in blue. And so it's like we're in 2 different worlds. It's like Audie was talking about being in Africa. I've been there, and the exact places he is, they speak Swahili and I speak English, and they don't mix very well. It's hard to understand what they're saying, and they have a hard time understanding what we're saying. Men and women are different. We speak different languages. But I want to say this. Even though we communicate differently, even though we are different, even though God made us that way, she is not wrong for not being a male. And he is not wrong for not being a female. Now, you might have gotten a different message in our culture today, because our culture tries to encourage us to men to be a lot more feminine and women to be a lot more masculine and kind of meet in the middle. But you see, that's not how God created us to be. God's design for us is that we are different. And he wants us to embrace those differences and to learn how to relate with one another in a way that brings blessing to ourselves and honor to him as our Creator. So this series that we're going to be doing, called Love and Respect, it's not a quick fix help for your marriage. If your marriage is broken, I have to confess today, what I'm going to tell you is not just going to fix it today. You're not going to walk out of here totally changed today. But these are tools that you can take with you and get on a pathway that leads to a marriage that's incredible, a pathway that leads to a marriage that is a blessing both for you and the community around you, people that you relate with. So it gives us tools that we can use. Jill and I, I'm happy to say, got some of these tools a few years ago, and we've been trying to implement them over time and start putting some of these things to work. And I must admit, my marriage is in the best place it's ever been, because we've chosen to listen to God's Word and apply it in our lives, and I trust that the same would be for you. So, you know, many times what attracts us to our spouse is how different they are than us, right? They say opposites attract, right? And so you start dating this girl, and you think, wow, she's the life of the party, man. I can just go with her anywhere, and she just works the room, and she's talking to everybody and always got the right thing to say. And then you get on down the road in your marriage and go, wow, I can't get her to shut up. And likewise, she grabs a hold of this guy. Wow, he is rock solid. He is steady, secure. I love how secure. I just feel so safe in his presence. And you get a few years down the road, wow, why is he so stubborn? I can't move him from anything. And so these differences, if we're not careful, help, they get us to a place to where we're frustrated with our relationship rather than happy with it. We're irritated with the other person rather than full of love and enjoyment with them. And so one of these huge differences between men and women is how we receive and how we express value for the other person. So we get in these places of conflict in particular, and we have a hard time communicating. There was a survey done with 7,000 people over a 20-year time. They were asked, when you're in conflict with your spouse, when you're in the middle of it, how do you respond, or how do you feel in that moment? Do you feel unloved, or do you feel disrespected? And so the survey says this, 83% of men said they felt disrespected. 72% of women said they felt unloved. Isn't that interesting? We must honor these differences in our lives. If we expect to have great relationships, we've got to follow God's design for our relationships, and we've got to learn to work within His system and within His ways. Ephesians 5:33 says this, and it's interesting to me how this verse lines up with the survey, or actually, I think the survey of results lines up with God's Word. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, isn't it interesting here that Paul didn't say, wife, you need to love your husband, and husband, you need to love your wife. And he didn't say, wife, you need to respect your husband, and husband, you need to respect your wife. No, he didn't say that. He said a husband must love his wife, and a wife must respect her husband. We all need love and respect, both, but it's during these times of conflict when we start banging heads with one another that our felt needs are different in that moment, and how we are hearing and receiving communication is different. And so over the next 3 weeks during this sermon series, we're going to talk about three cycles over time that we'll be looking at that help us understand a little bit more about how we communicate with each other and about the cycles that we find ourselves in relationships, and then how do we progress to cycles that are helpful and healthy and beneficial to us. Now, I do want to make a disclaimer before we go on that these cycles describe, these are helpful to you if you've got two people in a married relationship that are committed to making this the best that they can be. If you find yourself in a relationship that's got addiction or abusive things going on, or where one spouse is not committed to the marriage and another one, I want to advise you to get some professional help for that, some counseling. Call one of the pastors here at church, get some professional help. That's a little bit different situation, but these are tools that most of us that are in a committed relationship can utilize and put to work. So let's look at the first one, the crazy cycle. It'll be up there on the screen. And in the crazy cycle, when we get in this time of conflict, when the wife is without love, when she's feeling unloved, she reacts, usually in a crazy way. That's why we call it the crazy cycle. And when the husband is feeling disrespected, or when he's lacking respect, he reacts. And so we get in this cycle where the wife, feeling unloved, she negatively reacts with disrespect to her husband, and she has contempt for him. And husbands, you might have felt that sometime or another when you get in the fight and you just feel like this woman is just out to get you. And when so it makes you feel disrespected because she's not honoring you, because she's saying, you ought to be like this, and you ought to do this, and you ought to do that. And we get in this pain cycle, this thing flares up in us, and we go, by golly, you know, and we get mad, and we start reacting in a negative way that feels unloving to our wife. Anger, yelling, throwing stuff around the house, punching holes in the wall. And so she feels unloved and she feels unsafe in that environment. And so she disrespects you and says something that makes you want to hit something even harder. And we get in this crazy cycle. And life gets really out of control and really unsafe and really somewhere that I don't want to live, and I don't think you do either. In reality, there's lots of selfishness going on in the crazy cycle, and that's why it's called that, because it gets out of control. It's kind of like this. Maybe this picture will help you. So you're trying to be a good husband, and men, you know, you listen to your wife, and you've heard that you need to pay attention, and you need to be helpful and be loving, and so Your wife has made a few comments, you know, over the past couple of months, how she's not feeling as good as she wanted to, and maybe she's feeling like she's a little heavier than she wanted to be, and maybe she ought to get on a diet, or you know how it goes, right? And so you're being loving, and you're hearing this conversation, you know, these complaints that she has, and so you sneak over to Barnes & Noble one night after work, and you look through the nutrition section, and you find a great book on dieting. And you buy that book and you think, I'm going to love my wife and I'm going to really help her with what she's struggling with right now. And so you take that diet book and you kind of hide it. And the next morning you wake up early and you're going to work and she's still asleep. And you just kind of slide that thing over on the nightstand and put a note on there. Maybe, honey, I love you. And you sneak off to work. And, you know, she usually calls you when she gets up and you don't get a phone call that morning. You wonder why she didn't call. She's just busy, you know, and you come home that evening after work and it wasn't received quite in the way that you intended for it to be communicated, right? Because it's okay for her to say something about her weight, but it is not okay for you men to say something about her weight. And so what she's expressing in that moment is, or what she's feeling that you're saying is, you don't love me for who I am. You want me to change to become something else. You don't accept me. That's not what you wanted to communicate, right, men? You were trying to be helpful. You were trying to, you know, listen to her needs and fix it, because guys are fix it people, right? We like to fix stuff. And so, you know, it's the same for you women. I'm not going to let you off the hook that easy, right? So you want to work on the marriage and you want things to be better. And so you buy him a marriage book. And it sits on the nightstand and sits on the nightstand and sits on the nightstand, never gets open, right? And so you think, well, maybe he just doesn't like that one. I'll get him another one, you know? And so the second one sits there on top of the first one and it never gets open. And you're like, man, I really just want to, you know, talk about this and have a good relationship. And we do a marriage series at church and they have a book. And so you get that third marriage book and you take it home and you wonder why he won't talk to you about it. And you know, it's because he's starting to feel something inside, like, you don't respect me from who I am. You think I need to change who I am so that we could have a better marriage. And we're speaking different languages here, and we're misunderstanding what each other is saying. Because the woman is saying this, I'm trying to show love in exactly the same way that I receive love, but I'm finding out it's not working. I'm not communicating here. He's stonewalling me. And the man is saying, I'm trying to show respect to you and help you with this issue exactly the way I would like to receive help for something that I expressed I wanted help with. I didn't say I wanted to work on the marriage, and so I didn't think I needed to, but you said, you know what I meant? It's not working, because we're each trying to speak our own language and we're missing each other. To get off of this crazy cycle, we've got to learn how to decode differently. How to understand each other's different languages. And so you've got to give your spouse what they need in that situation, not what you need. It's different. We speak different languages. And if we're going to be successful in marriage, we've got to honor those differences and realize that they're there for a reason and that we can grow through that and really actually enjoy each other. So if we get off the crazy cycle, then where does that put us? Let's talk about an energizing cycle. It's kind of like the Energizer Bunny, you know, he just bump, 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 bump. You know, it's consistent and it's steady. And us men really like that idea that we could just, you know, go through this life having a really energized marriage that just goes and goes and goes and goes and doesn't ever have problems and doesn't ever have issues, and we're just enjoying life over and over and over again. And, you know, maybe it could be like that. But that cycle says this: his love motivates her and her respect motivates him. And so we get in the cycle that's a really positive thing in our life, to where men are speaking words of love and affirmation into the woman, and because of that she feels loved and she feels accepted, and so she starts learning how to speak respectfully to her husband and honor him, and it makes him feel, you know, really good, and so he's encouraged then to start speaking her language, and we get into this cycle that's really, really beneficial for our lives. But you know what we find out in the world is a different message. And so we get derailed from that a little bit. See, the culture of intimacy in our out here in the world has shifted to say this, that his love motivates her and her love motivates him, that we ought to just love each other and life will be great because we love each other so much. But the Word of God tells us something different, right? We read it in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, you're commanded to love. Wives, you're commanded to respect. And when we learn how to speak the language of the other spouse, powerful, powerful things can happen. Here's an example of one of those. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, talks about the power of a wife that lives with respect towards her unbelieving husband. It says this, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives." Women, that's how deeply this idea of respect can go, that without even saying a word, you could win over your husband, that his behavior could change as your life and your example and the power of God collide and come to work in that man's life. Things can change. Miracles can happen. Marriages can be restored. Whether it's an unbelieving husband or just a husband that won't pay attention when you say you want to work on the marriage, respecting him in that moment goes miles and miles farther down the road than any kind of marriage book or any kind of nagging that might happen. You know, Proverbs says this, that a nagging wife is like a dripping faucet. Drip, drip, drip. It annoys us out just to, it's like death. It's like being tortured, you know? But there's power in learning how to speak the other one's language. You see, a woman needs love like she needs air to breathe. She can't live without it. And a man needs respect like he needs air to breathe. And it's the way God made us. And it is wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. It's not something to go, man, God, why couldn't you just make us alike? It's something to be embraced because it brings out the best in us if we choose to pursue the best and not the worst. It can bring out the worst in us. Most of us have experienced that, right? How we've allowed it to bring out the worst in us. But if we can change that, we understand that, we won't be like the two people who were madly in love and just ended up being mad. We'll actually enjoy one another and we'll actually accomplish something in this world. So how do we get on this energizing cycle? How do we get into that pattern of speaking each other's language? We've got to learn how to influence each other differently. So women, here's a suggestion. Do something with your husband, shoulder to shoulder, without talking. Jump in there and do something that he likes to do. Here's an example of that. My wife and I went up to the mountains last weekend, and I have this old antique truck that 4x4 that I like to have been working on and tinkering with, and it really floats my boat to get that thing up in the mountain and climb those mountain roads and get up at elevation and do some off-roading. It doesn't float Jill's boat so much to go off-roading. But here we find ourselves. She is trying to be respectful and do something that I want to do. And so we're bumping along the road up there, and it's rough, and we're bouncing around and banging around, and I'm kind of holding on tight and gritting my teeth because there's a big drop-off over there, and this thing's really old, and I hope the brakes work. And, you know, there's no power steering, and I haven't talked for a while, apparently. Because she leans over to me and she looks at me and she's like, "Are you even having any fun?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm having fun. This is the time of my life. I mean, this is what I love to do. Not only am I getting to do what I love to do, but you're right there beside me doing it with me. And I feel so content and so happy. I just forgot to tell my face. I'm sorry." I wasn't communicating very well, but I was thoroughly enjoying it. It was life-giving to me to bump up that mountain, not by myself, but having her at my side, because I knew that this is not really her thing. She's doing this for me, not for her. So men, likewise, give her face-to-face time, allowing her to talk and share her feelings. However painful that might be to you, give her some FaceTime. We've found a good way to do that. That's a good compromise. So in the evenings, we've been walking a lot lately. And now I know I need to walk probably, you know, it would help me lose some weight and it's good for my health. And but that's not why I do it. I don't go out and walk for exercise. I found that this is a really good time for us to talk and for me to listen. And so as we're walking, we're out there and we're doing our thing, and Jill just gets to share her heart. What's going on in life? What's happening with our family? You know, what's going on at work? What's happening with the kids? And it's a really good time for me to open my ears and listen. It helps that we're doing something, because if we tried to do that, you know, for years and years, we'd sit down at the end of the day, you know, we'd go to bed and try to talk, and I just, you know, pass out, because that's what you do at the end of the day. So it's been helpful that we've compromised and found an activity that we can do together. But the main goal of that is I know we need to do that, not for my personal health, even though that's a benefit, but it's so that we can, I can listen and have some time together. Ladies, he's as energized as much by your presence without talking as you are after an hour of a good heart-to-heart talk between the two of you. And so we've got to honor our differences, church. We've got to honor that. You know, there's an even deeper level of relating to one another that takes us beyond just the energizing cycle. We can pump each other up, and our marriage can be awesome and can be great. But, you know, it's not always that way. We're not always on our best behavior. We're not always doing our best to love our wife or to respect our husband. And so we get to this place that beyond just having a good marriage, what if we had a relationship that could honor God by our very, by the very core of who we are and by the very actions that we choose to live our lives with? And this is called the rewarding cycle. And it says this: His love is offered regardless of her respect. So whether or not she chooses to respect me, I'm going to offer my love to her. And then her respect is offered regardless of his love. So she says, I'm going to respect my husband regardless of whether I get treated with love or not. Now, doesn't this look like Jesus' response to us a lot? That what we do or what we deserve to get, we don't have to experience that. We experience a love from the Father, a response from the Father that actually supersedes what our behavior is. And this takes our marriage to a place that we experience God's power at work in our lives. The deeper purpose in meeting each other's needs is not so that we can have a good marriage, not so that my wife will like me more, not so that your husband will like you more. Your purpose in pursuing and meeting each other's needs is to do so as to the Lord. It's to honor Christ. It's to honor God with the way that we relate to one another. And so the Christ follower, those of us who call ourselves believers, should see marriage completely differently than the rest of the world. And as I was getting ready for this message, I ran across a passage in there that just cracked me up a little bit. Paul was talking, you know, to, I think it was the Ephesians or somebody, and he was saying, you know, if you are married, you have not sinned, but blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? Wait. If you're married, you haven't sinned yet? No, marriage is not a sin. It's not a bad thing. It is a good thing. It is a blessing from the Lord. And so we get on this rewarded cycle as we obey God in the calling that He has given each of us in our response to one another. Because you see this, when you're feeling unloved or disrespected in that moment of conflict, it's almost never going to feel natural to you to do things that are loving or respectful back towards your spouse. And if we allow ourselves to follow our emotions, if we're people that are driven by our emotions, we're not ever going to get to this place that we have a great relationship, that we honor God with our relationship. And that's why God gives us a command in Ephesians. That's why the command comes. Otherwise, our emotions will just draw us away from one another. And so, men, the divine command comes down from God for you to be loving because you are a man of honor. And women, the divine command comes down for you to be respectful because you're a woman of dignity, created in the image of God. And so we find ourselves asking ourselves, if we're not ultimately, man, if you're not ultimately loving your wife, why is that? It might be because you're not obeying Jesus. And women, if you're not respecting your husbands, why is that? It might be because you're not obeying Jesus. You're not following the Word. Because you see, we've got to honor our differences if we hope to honor God in this ordained relationship that He gave to us. If we're going to make a difference in the world, if we're going to experience the fullness of all God called us to, we've got to honor our differences. Ephesians 5:21 says this, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I choose to love Jill, not because of the benefit that I get out of it, although I get a lot of benefit. It's a good thing for me. I choose to love Jill because I revere Christ, because that's what He has called me to do. That is the choice I've made as a believer, that I'm going to honor God and I'm going to love her even when she seems unlovable to me, even when she is disrespecting me, which she never does. You know, of course we have a perfect marriage, right? We all have perfect marriages here. Even in those moments when I feel disrespected, I'm going to choose to love. And in those moments when I am not loving towards her, which are way more numerous than vice versa, she chooses to respect me even when I'm acting in a disrespectful manner, even when I'm not living as an honorable type of man. And so this is a gift to us. It's a gift to you. God is using your spouse to bring you an eternal reward. It's not just for the here and now. It's not just for a great marriage. God is doing something in you that will reap eternal benefits. And you guys, we've all seen this. We've seen marriages and people that have gone down this road 50 and 60 years, and they're in love with each other. And we look at that marriage and we go, wow, could I be like that? Is it possible to have a family like that? Is it possible to have that relationship? And I say to you today, it is, if you follow God and follow His ways and choose to learn the language of your spouse. You see, your marriage is a gift to you. Some days it may seem like a burden. Some days it may seem like a curse. But it is a gift to you, to deepen you and to deepen your relationship and with God, to take you to a place of dependence on God, that God, I don't know why they're acting this way. I can't control why they're acting this way, but I'm going to choose to bury down in you and to trust you for my support, to trust you for my strength, to respond back in the appropriate manner. And so as that marriage deepens and gets better and better and better, that great marriage then becomes a gift to the world. And you get to become the couple that everybody looks at and says, wow, these people are following God. They must be doing something right. And you pass that legacy on to your children and to your grandchildren and to their children and their grandchildren. And it becomes something incredible. In fact, the Bible says this, that marriage is a picture to the world of how Christ responds to His church, how that relationship happens. And so your great marriage then becomes a testimony, even to unbelievers out there, of how much God loves His created men and women. Our marriages are testimonies to the world of how God loves His church. And so we want to try to do everything that we can to follow His will, to follow His word, and live in such a way that we speak each other's languages. We treat our women with love, and our men are treated with respect. And it gets us to this place to where we have a testimony that, obviously, you guys understand this, are not because of our own power, not because we're so good at what we do, but it's obvious that the Holy Spirit is empowering us to live in such a way that we can honor each other's differences. Would you guys stand with me today? You know, I believe that marriage is ordained by God. It's an incredible relationship that many of us are blessed with in this life to lead us into the things of God. And it's one of those things as we relate to one another in our lives, we all need help with that occasionally. We all struggle. We all need some assistance. And these guys on this prayer team are here because they want to pray for you and help you in that relationship. If you find yourself in the middle of that crazy cycle where you just can't seem to get off, it's like one of those rides at the fair that's just going around and around. I can't think of what it's called. And you can't figure out how to get off of that, come get some prayer today. Because God wants to empower you and help stop the craziness and get you to a place where you can honor and respect and love one another. And if you find yourself in that place of energizing and you're just going and things are going well, you know what? You probably need some prayer too. Because we get in a rut sometimes. That's the thing about that. And we start forgetting. I encourage you, come get some prayer. And if you're in a place that you find where you're in a mismatched relationship, you're having to find ways to respect that man because in spite of his unlovingness towards you, or vice versa. The Lord has good things in store for you. The Lord can utilize your willingness to be engaged with him and engaged in that relationship to effect change in that relationship, even when the other one's not wanting to participate right now. And I encourage you to come get some support in that. These are great people here that want to pray with you this morning. God, I thank you for this incredible group of people. I thank you for the word that you've given us this morning. I thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. God, that you've created this wonderful thing of man and woman, husband and wife, a relationship that is committed to one another to bring wholeness and just an incredible development in our lives, God. That you give us spouses who encourage us to be the best people that you created us to be. That give us a more complete picture of who you are as our Father. That we were created in your image, male and female. And that as we learn to relate with one another, God, we come into a deeper understanding of who you are. And this exercise of loving our wives and respecting our husbands, God, calls us to get outside of ourselves. It calls us to get beyond our selfishness and looking at our own needs and looking at someone else and their needs. And God, that is the ultimate representation of who you are. Because you look down on this earth and you saw us in our state of need, and you didn't sit there in heaven unwilling to engage and unwilling to let go of yourself in that situation. You sent Jesus as an ambassador on your behalf to extend love, to extend respect towards us, to meet us where we were and receive us into your family and complete that relationship that you desired from the very dawn of creation. And so God, today as we go out of here, may we be men and women who are willing to, out of reverence for Christ, live in the ways that you created us to live, to learn how to speak the language of our spouse, to be willing to be self-sacrificing and to love one another. We love you, God, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys, and have a great day.